And 2 years had transpired, and he went from these 8 visions that he had and explaining these different visions to now he's starting to just preach messages of encouragement and bring the word of the Lord in prophecy. God is good all the time. God has a great plan. And as you turn to Zechariah, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you ever have a person that you were trying to get a hold of and you had a really important message for them, and it might even have been a message about how you wanted to give them a blessing, and you got their answering machine? Do you ever have that happen? You get your answering machine, you leave a message, you say, "Hey, so-and-so, give me a call back. I got an important message for you." You didn't get a call back. Do you ever have that? And then you called them again. You left another message. And they didn't call back. And then you call them 2 or 3 times in the same day because you thought, well, maybe I just called it a bad time. Still no return call. Pretty soon you just quit even leaving messages. You ever feel that way before? Anybody can you relate to that? And you know their phone's working because they're calling and you hear that they talk to so-and-so, but like they won't talk to you. And you got a really important message to give to them. How does that make you feel? Like they don't like you, like they don't want nothing to do with you, right? Okay. Well, let's try a different one. How many of you guys have ever been involved in raising children? You ever been involved in raising children? So you tell them, if you clean up your room, little Johnny. Sorry, I didn't mean you. By the way, I truly enjoyed that song. I'm going to have to admit, I was shedding a few tears up there because I remember little Johnny, he was about this big. And it's been a long way home, but we're going to get there. And you know what's so awesome? We're going to get there together. We're going to be there forever. Praise the Lord. That's good. God's a good plan. But how about, all right, I'll pick a different name. Let me see if I can pick one that isn't one of my children's name. Little Zechariah. How's that? All right, so you say, little Zechariah, if you'll clean up your room. Now, you've been needing to clean up your room for a long time, but when you get that room clean, I got a special gift to give you. I got a special blessing. So they come back to you in 10 minutes, and you know they ain't had enough time to clean up the room. What's the special blessing? I want to know what the special blessing is. Tell me what the special blessing is. You say, you go clean up that room, and you come back, and you let me know. And I'm gonna, and you know, the whole time I'm thinking, I'm going to take them to Dairy Queen, okay? That's what I'm thinking. Well, 4 or 5 more visits from little Zechariah. You go check the room. Nothing's happening. Day goes by. Nothing happened. 2 days go by. Nothing happened. 4 days go by. Little Zechariah comes to say, when do I get my blessing? What do you say? Did you clean the room? I'm just giving you some thoughts of human relationships that we might have so that you can maybe think about what it might be like for God whenever he gives us a message and we don't bother listening. We're wanting to skip over that and say, God, bless me. Come on, God. Why aren't you blessing me? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with you even? Sometimes people will blame it on God. But what we really need to be doing is looking maybe a little more inward sometimes. Say, how am I doing at taking care of the things that God's already shown me? I can tell you, if you ever get to a place in your life where you're feeling very distanced from God, don't blame that on him. What I always encourage individuals that might come to me and say, Pastor, there was this time in my life when I felt so close to God, but right now I feel so dry and I just don't know where, you know, I haven't heard from him in forever. I always say, well, let's think about the last time that you felt really close to God. What was your life like and what was going on in your life? And a lot of times, without me even having to ask beyond that, go back and reminiscing, and they'll come to this place where God had given them grace and shown them that there was a part of their life that they needed to work on. And I'll ask, well, how did that go? And oftentimes what I find, and I've found it in my own life, I didn't do or act upon what God had shown me. And you know what? God is a patient God. He waits for us, oftentimes, to return to that point. Because he didn't change his mind, folks. God don't change his mind. God had sent other prophets, and they had a message. And God's going to talk about that a little bit here in chapter 7 of Zechariah. And so we're going to read chapter 7. It's 14 verses. So if you could, if you're able to, stand for the reading of God's word, that'd be awesome. If you can't, I understand. But in so doing, we're showing respect for God's word. We're also showing that we agree this is for us today. Guys, this isn't just a history lesson. Although it is historic, it's a right now lesson to us as well. So let's read the book of Zechariah, chapter 7, starting at verse 1. Now, in the fourth year of King Darius, it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, Chislev, when the people sent Sherezer and Regem Melech and his men to the house of God to pray before the Lord, and to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, "Should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years?" Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, "Say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? When you eat and when you drank, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowlands were inhabited?" Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, every one to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother." Verse 11, but they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with the whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you would teach us through these words. God, we know that we access the throne of grace through Jesus Christ, but we also know that in that relationship with Jesus, you still communicate with us things that we need to work on in our lives. And Lord, help us not to be negligent in these areas. And we know that sometimes these things you communicate to us individually also have to do with a larger group called the nation. And just as you were communicating with individuals and sending out prophets to speak to the whole nation about things that the nation needed to work on, you didn't change your mind, Lord. Now you're bringing them back to it some 70 plus years later. And so, Lord, I pray that we would hear from you properly. And I believe our nation is in a very much such a time as this. You have been telling us now for almost 50 years to stop sanctioning the murder of our unborn babies, and we keep doing it. Lord, you haven't changed your mind. We see things coming against us 20 years ago. Yesterday was the anniversary of an attack on our own soil. You lifted your hand of protection and the Twin Towers were attacked and brought down, and 3,000 plus people died. Lord, we can see your mercy in that, because it probably should have been about three or four times that. But Lord, we also see that very much was a show of your discipline as well, if we don't turn back to you. The scripture says, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that we would turn to you now individually. And all of us as individuals, collectively as the nation. And Lord, I am praying that we would hear your voice, because when they stopped up their ears and they wouldn't listen in the time that Israel was turning away from you, Lord, you gave them over to a 70-year exile period to Babylon. You were patient. You sent many prophets, and their message really never changed. It was the same message. It was clean up your room. And Lord, help us to hear the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, as we look at these scriptures, this scripture passage here, I want to kind of give you a little bit of historic examination at this. So he's talking about this fifth month, and this might seem obscure because some of us know a little bit about, like, the Old Testament. There was only one place in the Old Testament where it talked about afflicting yourself, and it was during the Day of Atonement. We're coming up on the Day of Atonement right now on the calendar. It's usually in September. And what's interesting about that is that was the prescribed time for people to afflict themselves for a 24-hour period to reflect on our own sins. By that word afflict, what it means is to fast. How many of you guys have ever gone a day without food? Have you ever tried going a day without food? For whatever reason, for religious purposes, for Christian purposes, it's a great time of reflection. Sometimes they make you do it to get certain tests or to get an operation as well in the medical field. So, I mean, really, you feel the physical effect of it either way. It's a very humbling experience. We begin to realize just how much that we do depend on, you know, our food from moment to moment and day to day. But God used this as an opportunity in the seventh month in the law for the people of Israel to take a day of reflection and say, God, search me and show me if there's any wicked way in me. And so during that time, they would set aside their food and they would just focus on God, for them to give God an opportunity where they were not distracted by anything else, to be searched by God and for God to show them what they needed to repent of. And then at a certain time during that day, they would repent of all known sin as the sacrifice was being taken into the Holy of Holies by that high priest. And if you've been here for any of the rest of these messages, you know they're rebuilding the temple after a 70-year exile to another foreign land where they didn't have a temple to do any sacrifices, so that they can have a high priest to take the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies to atone for the sin of the people, because they knew after 70 years, we have sinned and we need this sin atoned for. And they were doing what the scripture showed them at that time. Praise God, we're in the New Testament times. We're in the new covenant with God, and Jesus has been the atonement for our sins. Amen. And even then, they were looking forward to the one who would fulfill that role. There was going to be one, and he's Messiah, and it is Jesus. But all of that was so that they were showing faith that it was actually going to happen. So now we get to see that from retrospect and know Jesus has atoned for our sins. But I believe every day needs to be a day of reflection for us, and especially maybe just one time of a year, to really listen to God and to really know what he's saying. Well, during this 70-year period, they were so broken over the fact that God had allowed his temple to be destroyed and his people to be dispersed. This was called the dispersion, diaspora. They were put all over the known, you know, civilized world under that kingdom. And so during that time, they had four different fasts that they observed and to commemorate different stages of the fall of Jerusalem, because they were so broken over it. And one of these was during the fifth month, and this is when they burned the temple. So these individuals had come to the priests in Jerusalem from another one of their cities saying, since the temple is being rebuilt now, should we still fast and mourn over the one that was burned? And I think they got a little different take of an answer than what they really expected. So what God winds up saying to them through the prophet Zechariah is, when you were fasting, were you focused on me, that being God? Or were you really focused on yourself? So rather than just a straightforward answer, yes or no, which is what they were hoping for, God said, who were you fasting for the last 70 years anyways? He was dealing with, guys, I want your heart. And I still don't seem to really have it. You're still just looking at a list of do's and don'ts, and I want your heart. Let's go to that next slide if we could. We can see that a little bit right there. Is our fasting and prayer focused on Him or on us? Do we fast just to try to twist God's arm and make Him give us what we want? Because if that's your idea of fasting, don't even do it. It's not an attempt to try to force God to do what we want. Guys, when we fast, it needs to be so that we can gain the heart of God. That's what fasting is about. It's about not us changing God, because you're not going to change God. Do I get an amen on that? I used to think I wanted to. What a foolish thought. Man, I am so type A, I thought I knew better than God. What a dumb idea. And you know what? I'm 52 now, and I've learned a few things, and I am so thankful God has never changed for anybody. Because if He changed for me, then He's got to change for Wesley, and then He's got to change for Daniel, and He's got to change for everybody out here that calls himself a believer. And then what kind of God would we have? He sure wouldn't be a sovereign God. That's kind of the question that he's asking. He says, say to all the people of the land and the priests. Even the priests were kind of not understanding this. They weren't getting it. When you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? Pause. For me? See, it's capitalized because God, it's God's pronoun. He's saying, are you looking at me? Or are you just looking at self-pity? I think this is a great question. I think God answers all of our questions perfectly, don't you think? And what's so awesome is Jesus exampled this in his life walking on earth. Oftentimes he answered questions with another question. Because he wants us to learn. He wants it to become who we are, not just what we do. And so as they're thinking about this, he says, how about when you're eating? What about when you eat? Who are you focused on then? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Guys, who should we be eating and drinking for? Let's do it for the glory of God. Let's do it for the glory of God. You know why we stop and give thanks? I hope you stop. Do y'all, I don't want to show of hands. This is one of those rhetorical questions. I want you to think about it. If you're by yourself even, do you stop and thank God before you let the food touch your lips? And if you do you do it just because it's legalism? Or are you really thinking about it? I would suggest make it a practice in your life that before you even let it touch your lips, remember who it comes from. Give Him glory for it. Even if it's lentils. I know, you love lentils. Does anybody other than Steve love lentils? It's good if you do. Praise the Lord, brother. That's awesome. I had them one time and I thought, man, these things taste like dirt. I'm same way with beets. I don't know. I got something wrong with my taste buds. Beets just taste like sweet dirt to me. But if that's all I had, would I be thankful before I let it touch my lips? Because if that's what God intended for me to have and He wanted to give my body strength through that, am I going to think about Him and glorify Him for it? That's where God wants our hearts. Let's not only fast for Him, let's eat for Him too. Because we do a lot more than that than we do fasting. Amen? So he's saying, you fasted back then four times a year. basically every other day, am I the center of your joy? That's what God wants to be, the center of our joy. That's some legalistic requirement. If that's the reason why, you know, we stop to give thanks, then we need to stop that too. Let's do it because we're really focusing on God. Let's focus on God. Amen? Let's focus on God. You see, God desires, he desires obedience to his word even more than sacrifice. He said, should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous? Don't you think God wants us to remember him in the good times? That's what he's saying. Remember me in the good times. And whenever you read it in the word, that's the word of God. Whenever a prophet speaks the word, that's prophecy. He's saying listen and obey even during the good times when the south and the lowland and all those places were still inhabited. You see, those former prophets that spoke, I'm just going to read you one little part here in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 5 through 7. He explains what a fast is supposed to look like here. This is his heart for the fast. He says, is it a fast that I have chosen for a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is it not? Is this not the fast I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness? Do you know whenever you fast, it's to break bonds. You know, whenever you see somebody and they just seem to be all bound up and you say, man, there's nothing I can do for them. I've tried to talk them out of it. I've tried to explain it to them, but they just won't listen. Try taking a time and fasting for them. Maybe just one meal, whatever. Pray for them during that time that God would break the bonds in their lives. Have you ever seen someone when the bonds are broken for them? And they come back and they say, I don't even know why this happened, but all of a sudden it was like God turned on the light. You know, hard telling who was praying for them. Because that's what God did for me. He just turned on the light one day. Well, actually, it was one night. You know what? Somebody was praying for me during that time. Somebody was fasting for me. Maybe not at that moment, but somewhere before that. God broke the bonds. That's the fast he's chosen. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? Practice hospitality, he's saying. When you see the naked, that you uncover him, or that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Guys, that's what God's really desiring to see in our lives. It's not just today to say, oh, look at me, I'm so broken because I haven't eaten anything all day. He wants us to pour into other lives while we're doing it. He wants us to be praying that the strongholds being broken down. This is what God really desires. You see, that's what the former prophet said, and now it's going to be repeated again by the latter prophet, Zechariah. Listen to what he says and see just how close it is to what Isaiah told them to do so they wouldn't have to go into exile. They didn't do it. They went into exile. Now they're coming out. Now God is reminding them again through Zechariah the prophet. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice. Did you notice he didn't say, no, don't fast anymore? He didn't say yes or no. That's what they were looking for. But instead, he says, this is what I really want to see in your life. Execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion, everyone, to his brother. You remember what we just read in Isaiah? Sounds just like it, just reworded a little bit. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless. There it is again. And I'll tell you what, I only picked one of the former prophets. Every one of the former prophets you'll find it in. And some of the future prophets. God keeps saying the same thing. You know why? Because he still wants us to do it. He wants us to show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother, not to oppress the widow or the fatherless. Who's the fatherless? It's the orphan, right? The alien or the poor. What's an alien? It's not from outer space, guys. They went, I knew it! No. This is just anybody that's not naturally from your country. You know, if somebody does come here illegally, even if they're an illegal alien, maybe we need to do the right thing legally. But here's what God don't want us to do. He doesn't want us to oppress them. And that's what happens oftentimes. They're brought in, they're dropped off, they were promised a whole lot, and then some evil person uses them like a slave. That breaks God's heart. And he's telling us, don't you be part of that. Don't you be using the poor either. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. Guys, he wants us to show mercy and compassion. He wants us to continue on. He wants us to have our heart in it. You know, since they didn't listen to him, you know what? God said he wouldn't listen to them either. He said, you take care of that over there and then we'll talk. In Zechariah 7:13, therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. I was just listening to a program. Chip Ingram was talking about prayer, and he was the one that kind of gave me that thought on the answering machine. You know, why haven't we heard from you, God? Why haven't we heard from you, God? Well, I left three messages on your answering machine, but you didn't bother. You know, maybe that's kind of a contemporary way for us to kind of get it in our heads. I don't know. Maybe that don't hit with you, but it hits with me. Check your answer machine. Check in with God each day. Okay? Let's keep short accounts with him. Let's be in his word, because he's already written it down for us. You know, I got this cool thing. My answering machine actually comes across as texts if I want to pay a little extra. That way, if I can't really go and listen to it and I'm out somewhere, and it, you know, I got to stay quiet, I can actually get my voice message on that in text. That way I can read it with my eyes. It's kind of funny. Sometimes it does weird things with the words. So if you leave me an answering on my answering machine thing or my answering service, make sure you speak clearly, because it's hard telling what I'll get out of it. I usually can figure it out, though. And if I really want to know, you know what, I'll call you back and ask you. And I really want to know. Do we really want to know what God wants us to do when we don't understand? Let's go to him and ask. Let's get in his word. Let's find out. They proclaimed, he proclaimed they wouldn't hear. They called out, and God says, I would not listen. Guys, I want God to hear our prayers. I want him to listen. Thus they made the pleasant land desolate. That very next verse. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. What makes the land desolate, guys? Was it just the enemy? Was it all the enemy's fault? Thus they made the pleasant land desolate. Guys, I think it's our sin. It's our willful, disobedient sin. That's what makes it desolate. You know, we could be under a heavy-handed ruler, and if we know the Lord and we're living for him, he could be bringing revival right now. But we've got all these freedoms in the United States of America, and you know what we're doing? We're giving them away. Because we're so selfish that we just want what's for me. You see, we can help that change right here in this little room before we leave here. Is get right with the Lord, and as we leave, we take it with us, and you know what? We can affect the world. God doesn't desire just ritual and religious activity. That's what their fasts were before that. That's what he was revealing to them. He desires an active relationship expressed through obedience. We don't earn it through obedience, but we show that we're in it through obedience. Y'all know what James said good and perfect religion is? This is what I'm talking about, a latter prophet. remember the orphan and the widow in their distress, and keep oneself unspotted from the world. How are we doing at those things? Are we remembering the orphan and the widow? Are we looking to help those that are in need? How about that unspotted from the world thing? Is your entertainment soiling you? Is that something that Jesus would want to set beside you and watch or listen to? Because I got some news for you, folks. He's already there. He lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And I think he can at times be grieved by the things that I try to drag him through. So, Lord, forgive me and help me to put you first. Lord, every part of my life you desire. Let that be all of our prayer. So then, just to answer the question, I'll ask it again. Does God listen to us when we won't listen to him? I'll just answer it with Psalm 66:18, because we'll find it multiple places in the Word. But this very clearly, if I regard iniquity in my heart, that's willful and disobedient. The Lord will not hear. It's very important that we do a self-examination and let God search our heart too. We do it together. You know what my wife feels most loved whenever I do with her? Things together. I'm thinking, but honey, I already did it for you. And she said, let's do it together. I think that reveals something about the heart of God. You know, we see God through the culmination of both genders, okay? Because they started out just like in Adam, and then God took from Adam and made Eve. And we've got male and female. So it was all in Adam at one point, right? And so what we see from that, I think, is just like my wife likes to spend time together and do things together, God wants to do that together with us. He wants us to take the time to get with him and say, God, I want you to look inside of me, and I'm going to do it with you. And then let's go forward together. Let that be the first part of our prayer. Instead of, Father, this is what I want, more like, Father, show me if there's anything I need to repent of. And then, Father, here's what I need. Let's go to God and let's ask him to reveal our hearts. Dear Father, thank you that these men were sent to ask this question to the prophet Zechariah. It's a good question. We've been fasting and lamenting all this time. Now that the temple's being rebuilt, do we have to do this anymore? And you said you never really had to do it anyway. What I really want is your heart. That was always the point. And so whether we fast or whether we eat, whatever we do, let us do it to the glory of God. Let us do it with you. Whatever our life is about, whatever things that we're doing, whatever things that we are involved in, let us look and see, God, is this what you want me to be about? And if it is, then let's do it together. So Lord, please help us to keep our lives in such a place that when we see sin, we don't just say, oh well, God understands. He knows I'm a sinner. That's why Jesus died, so I'm not going to do anything about it. I think that really grieves your heart when Christians say that. But Lord, what you really want us to say is, Lord, you died for that sin, so it must really, really hurt you. Help me, Lord. Help me to do something about it. Help us not to just regard iniquity in our hearts unrepentant. And Lord, the first step in that process is to make sure we've fully given our heart to Jesus in salvation. We really can't do anything about it till we do. So help us, Lord, to turn our lives over to you. And as we're doing the self-examination during this time, I pray you'd reveal to us if there's anything we need to do something about right now. Salvation first, maybe baptism, and maybe church membership. It could be just the relationship that we know we've offended somebody and we need to ask them to forgive us. That may be what you're revealing to us, Lord. Sometimes when our sin has involved another person, we not only need to ask for your forgiveness, we need to ask for their forgiveness. So I pray that you would restore relationships and that you would help us not to oppress the poor or anybody who might be in disadvantage, and help us to make sure that we're always being a good example of you to a world. In Jesus' name, amen.